How's it going, everyone? This is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications coming at you again with another audio program. This time I have a guest with me who I think you're really going to enjoy hearing from. Her name is Betsy Rosenfeld, and she's the author of The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. Now, you see, a lot of you men and women have been writing us saying, hey, look, you know what? I got this dog. I got this cat. I've got some sort of exotic pet of some other variety, and I just don't know how to handle introducing people I'm dating to my pets. And some of you are also writing saying, hey, look, you know what? I just met this great woman. I just met this great guy. And they've got this huge, massive dog, and I just don't know how to deal with it. Or you say, I'm allergic to my pet's dog, anything like that. Well, if it's related to pets and dating, we're going to talk about it today. And the reason why Betsy is your go-to gal for this sort of information is because she's been working around dogs for quite a while. She's actually from Beverly Hills, California, although we won't hold that against her. And she's a dog rescuer. So she's got basically a heart for dogs, and she's also single. She now has a guy, a great guy she met off of Match.com, which we may talk about a little bit. And she's got this book that really answers every one of these questions. So without any further ado, Betsy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Tell us, what compelled you to write this book in the, I guess, perspective of being a dog owner and feeling the need to write this book about dogs and dating?
Well, being single in Los Angeles and dating and having a job, it's a lot to handle to be a dog owner and be a successful dog owner and a successful dater. And I felt like I could have used a book like this. And so I decided to go ahead and try to write one.
Yeah, you know, there's really no other book on the subject. You were the go-to person for this entire topic. I mean, we looked on Twitter. We went through the reporter's resource. And your name kept coming up and again. Your name kept coming up again and again. So, you know, absolutely, we're glad you're here. So tell us, give us your best secrets. If you're a dog owner, or, you know, let's go ahead and protract it out a bit. Let's say you're a dog owner or a cat owner. What do you need to remember if you're dating?
Well, I think a couple things is that don't automatically expect that the person that you're dating is going to love your dog immediately as much as you do right off the bat. It's great if that happens, but sometimes people have to warm up to your dogs. It's not the immediate thing that they're going to absolutely accept your dog off the bat. However, if somebody doesn't respect your devotion to your pet, that's probably not a really good sign. I went on one date with actually someone I ran into last night. I'm here at a wedding out of town, and I ran into him. He and I went on a date, and as I walked out the door, I called up to Bella, my dog, to get up on the couch because we were going out for the night, and he was like, you let your dog on the couch? And I was like, we really probably shouldn't even be going out, because he was so appalled by this. And that was just out of his realm of possibility, and so he was therefore out of my realm of possibility.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't begrudge him for it. It's just we weren't a match in that way.
Sure, sure. Now, can you comment a little bit about maybe someone is not exactly a dog lover, mm-hmm. but they're okay with dogs, and you're really into your dog, or vice versa? How would you handle that different kind of perspective on dogs? Not that the person is completely against dogs, mind you, but
I think you need to anytime you start dating somebody, you have to work them into all aspects of your life, and you can't expect it to happen overnight. So having activities that you're going to go to the beach or go on a hike or go to the park, show the fun things to someone you're dating that you do with your dog. And really, if they don't enjoy them, maybe there are bigger problems because those are things you enjoy. And coming from the female side a little bit, I've been in the position where guys say that I've been dating, oh, you can leave her for one night. Your dog can be alone for a night. That's not respectful to me. And I think that's something that goes both ways. A girl shouldn't expect her date to forsake his pet either. It goes both ways. You have to let that person respect their animal, but at the same time, enjoy and do fun things together. Because there are lots of fun things you can do. Like I said, to the park, to the beach, so many things. So you have to incorporate
people. Not to a fancy
people.
Restaurant, though.
Well, you know what? In Beverly Hills, you can actually take your dog pretty much anywhere.
You guys are just weird, though.
We are weird. I do know that. But again, actually, this also goes to having boundaries. I talk about in the book is that sometimes, say you're making out with somebody, your dog shouldn't necessarily really be there. You know, create some boundaries. Put your dog in the bedroom if you're in the living room, or vice versa. Respect your date if you're the one with the dog, that you need some alone time without that dog.
Okay, so let's say that you're someone who's dating someone who has a dog.
Yes.
And she wants the dog in the bed all the time, even when you're kind of getting
intimate.
Yeah.
I love my dog, but there are that would be disrespectful to the person I was dating if they that's uncomfortable for everyone. I recommend that people, I also am someone who believes in crate training and having a dog, it's in the dog's own best interest to, you know, be like Caesar Milan encourages and have an alpha. And a dog, my dog sleeps in the bed sometimes, but he also has his place at the foot of our bed. And one of the things I recommend is that people get little ottomans. If your dog has been used to sleeping in the bed and the new person you're dating is uncomfortable, consider getting an ottoman. I got mine off of Craigslist. I found a really great one. It was leather and I got it for $85. It was beautiful. And I put the ottoman at the end of the bed and the dog can sleep there and still feel like it's close to you, but not be where it shouldn't, for
that's great.
Lack of a better word.
That's really, really a great piece of advice.
Thank you.
Now here's a kind of a little tale from our own household here. You know, Emily's got this little hairless terrier, little black hairless terrier named Gracie. We love her. And Gracie. When I first met Gracie, Gracie was insanely jealous.
Yes.
I mean, she wanted a boyfriend. And of course, well, you know, maybe if you're new to X and Y Communications, you probably haven't heard that Gracie's boyfriend doesn't have much game. Through, you know, artificial insemination stuff, because, you know, Gracie's basically proven that if Cosmo was the last dog on Earth, she still wouldn't have sex with him, because he is the last dog on Earth in this household, and she still won't. But she kind of has this thing for me. She, like, burns this little flame for me, and she gets insanely jealous of Emily. I mean, the dog literally will, if she's on the bed, when Emily and I are on bed and, you know, trying to steal a kiss or whatever, the dog will come and try to kiss me.
Yeah. He'll
try to tongue in while Emily and I are trying to kiss. I mean, not TMI or anything, but what is up with that? What do you do about that?
Again, it's, she sounds like she's got a diva personality big time. And I respect that about Gracie. Uh-huh. But again, she probably needs to know that she's not alpha. And we have that problem. Actually, my parents' dog, Rusty, humps people all the time. It's his dominance thing. And he'll do it. It's all a dominance game. If you watch Caesar Milan, who we're all big fans of, dogs live in a pack world. And in Gracie's world, she is trying to disrupt the pack structure between you and Emily, it sounds like, because she wants to be above Emily because she knows you're alpha and she wants to be the next in line. And that can be a problem. I mean, it's one thing when she doesn't look like she's probably that big, but I do Mastiff rescue, and we've had to rehome dogs, because it's one thing when the dog's 20 pounds or under. It's another thing when it's 120 pounds and it doesn't want you to kiss your mate. And it shows it in ways that are really scary. And we've had to rehome a Mastiff because he wouldn't let the husband get in bed with the wife.
That's just not... You know, homie, don't play that.
Homie, don't play that game. It was a little
that's
scary.
Messed up.
Yeah, but, you know, there's the devotion in dogs, which is one of the reasons why I think when you are dating and you're single, and I'm in my 30s, and the companionship is in a really wonderful support. No matter who didn't call me back or how fat I felt, my dog thinks I rock, and that's awesome. And I think that having a dog as your companion when you're dating, for guys and girls, is great. And it creates great opportunities for dating. Walking, people want to pet your dog. You go to the coffee house, people want to pet your dog. You go to the dog park, and it's like dating in your sweatpants at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. And you don't have to look fabulous or brush your hair. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, if you're a guy and you take your Dalmatian with the little red scarf on to the park.
Forget it.
Frisbee with it, you're a chick magnet.
Yeah. I mean, people used to borrow my puppy when I was in college. I got a dog in college. And that's a whole nother story of being too young. She ended up living with my parents. And guys used to borrow my puppy and take it down to the Locust Walk, which was the main area of campus, because she was such a chick magnet.
So there, you know, guys, there you have it.
But don't get a dog just because they're chick magnets. However, you can go down to your local Humane Society and walk dogs and get the same, or foster, and get the same benefits. Yeah. Well, I can work anything into rescuing a dog, just so you know.
Wow, that's a tremendous idea.
Yeah.
If you don't want to take care of a dog, because, you know, I was about to go ahead and say the same thing you were saying, is, you know, don't take a dog if you can't handle the responsibility.
I talk a lot about that in my book. I mean, I really encourage people. I wrote this, one of the ideas, the idea that really sparked this book is I had this picture of a dog that we took into rescue. A girl was really cute girl, Sunday morning, bringing her dog in to the pound. She's like, I am so busy, and she's so cute, but I just really had no idea it was going to be so much work. And it really was part of the impetus of why I wrote this book, is I want people to know. I didn't want to scare people. I wanted to do it in a fun way, but really tell people what it's like, you know, walking the walk of having a dog.
Absolutely.
And being single.
So I've heard it's almost like practice for having kids.
Absolutely, but when you're single and you're doing it on your own and you're trying to date and work and go on trips and all those kinds of things, it's hard to get it all, pack it all in.
It's, I mean, in some way, it's akin to being a single mom.
Absolutely.
You've got to make sure the dog or the cat is accounted for.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a big dog person, but it's funny when you brought up exotic animals. I don't really, I don't know how I'd feel about dating with someone with a snake or a big lizard. Uh-huh. And for some people, I'm sure that's the way they feel about dogs. And I know some guys that I'm friends with really don't like cats. And you mentioned if somebody's allergic, I think allergies are probably easier to get over than a fear or a dislike of somebody's animal. And I think that I'm not a big fan, obviously, of having to rehome a pet, but if you're really desperately in love with somebody and there's a huge problem and you've exhausted every possibility, and there are lots of possibilities for making things work, from if you have allergies, doing allergy shots, or keeping the dog well washed and brushed and getting the dander off, to training if the dog is having some adjustment problems. If you've exhausted every possibility, there are responsible ways of finding a new home for your dog, which don't include dropping them off at the pound.
Right.
And you can read my book, The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner, or go to a breed rescue, or be responsible, do some research. There are some really responsible ways to find new homes for dogs, even though I'm not, you know, saying, yeah, dump them, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think everybody understands what you're saying. In our house, everybody is allergic to terriers. I mean, I am horribly allergic to terriers. And the funny thing about this is, by total accident of situation, you know, I guess maybe Emily and I really were soulmates or something, who knows. But she had these dogs, and I'm not used to dogs because I'm horribly allergic to them. I like dogs, but I'm not used to them. And so here I go. I enter Emily's life, and she's got these two dogs that are bred specifically not to have hair and therefore not to have much dander. I mean, it's so funny. They literally can jump in the shower with you and towel off.
Yeah.
Have no hair. So my daughter, same way. You know, she was introduced to the dogs, and that helped her feel more at home with Emily, because, you know, my daughter is allergic to dogs. Mm-hmm. So it has been just a plus all the way around, even from the allergy department, just by virtue of the situation. So yeah, if there's someone who is horribly allergic and you're a dog lover, there are hairless pets if they are allergic to the dander.
And there are hairless pets in rescue, and there's low dander dogs in rescue. A lot of people think, first of all, there's nothing as 100. It's funny that you have a hairless dog, because I write, even hairless dogs create dander. And that's what people are allergic to. And some people are allergic to the saliva. And so a lot of people think, oh, I have to buy a dog that's hypoallergenic. Well, there really actually isn't anything as 100% hypoallergenic dog, and people should go to their local, to their shelters. Terriers have lower dander than, you know, golden retrievers and labs and shepherds and mixes thereof. Poodles, Maltese, Bichons, and the shelters right now are full of dogs because people are losing their homes, and dogs and cats are the first ones that get given up, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, in our case, it's all about just making sure they jump in the shower, like I said, every day.
Yeah, and getting that dander off their body.
Now, I have a couple things you've mentioned I want to hit on.
Okay.
Cats, okay? You're right. A lot of guys can't stand cats, and man, these women who love their cats love their kitty cats. I mean,
yeah,
it's just ridiculous. Emily even says, she would go so far to say, if she was on this call with us, that there's something wrong with a guy who loves cats too much. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but there is always going to be this more of the norm than the exception situation where a guy doesn't like the cat and women just love cats. What to do?
Well, I think that I have a really good friend who has two cats, and she started dating somebody who didn't like cats. And I think that guys have a predisposition not to like cats. I think it's something that you learned in shop or something. I'm not sure where it comes from, but
where, hopefully not like, you know, the shop with the bandsaws and stuff.
Exactly. Like that. That's true. But once he got past his initial mindset that he didn't like cats, and she didn't overwhelm him and be like, "Don't you love my kitty? Kitty, kitty." You can't be like that. I mean, when you're dating someone, let's be real, there's a marketing game here going on too. You need to be sensitive to that other people might not share your devotion. And I think women need to think about that. Same with little dogs. I mean, I interviewed some guys for my book saying it's really weird when a girl is dressing her chihuahua and, you know, giving her little tiaras and it's a little bit Barbie-esque and you're in your 20s or 30s and that's a little bit embarrassing. I think women have to be sensitive and think about how it's being perceived.
That's embarrassing even in Beverly Hills?
It's embarrassing even in Beverly Hills.
Just checking.
I understand. And just so you don't hold it against me, we got past that. Okay, good. I guess a dichotomy of some sorts. Like, I'm the girl at the kennel. My friend used to call it from Prada to poop. I rock it. Like, I can do it all. Because I am happy, you know, cleaning up dog poop as I am walking the streets of Beverly Hills with my dog. I do have to say, I had a lab Rottweiler mix. She was pretty tough, and I could put pearls on her and feel okay about it. But a little chihuahua might be a little embarrassing. But
I think as far as the cats go, I think it's a lot like shoe shopping. You know, we love you because you're feminine. Us guys love feminine women, so we have got to be willing to accept the whole package. Guys, you're not going to get a woman who is this feminine, amazing smelling, perfect complement to your natural masculinity, and she's going to hate cats and not want to go shoe shopping and want to change the oil with you in your pickup truck. It's not going to happen. You've got to let a woman be a woman. But you don't have to go shoe shopping.
Right.
I don't have to love your kitty cat. Just like, it was so funny when you brought that exact point up and the way you brought it up.
Yeah. I think that once guys get past the, "Oh, I'm going to hate this cat," sometimes cats are pretty damn cool, and I think people didn't know because they automatically have just always had such an aversion to them. And I think that as long as you don't push it on people, I think maybe because I'm, you know, in my 30s and more realistic, you can't make anybody do anything. Ultimately, they're not going to want to do themselves.
That's true.
You can open them up to the opportunity, but you can't make somebody love your dog, and you can't make them love having them in the bed. And so you have to have workarounds. And I think having your own time with your dog and just making sure that you don't forsake your dog while you're incorporating somebody new into your life is also, though, really important to keep in mind.
You know, I think it's funny you should mention that. Something you brought up just struck a chord so much, and that's the whole idea of a guy not really liking the cat and the woman not pushing it on him. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, after they've been dating a few weeks, she comes out, you know, from the bathroom or whatever, and here's the cat snuggled up on the guy's lap and mm-hmm. watching SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things that...
You can see happening. You just
I
know.
I can see it. I can see it happening.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
I want to go back and I want to discuss something else that you touched upon that I think is just got to happen in this call. We've got to talk about
it. Okay.
I dated this woman, okay, and she had this Rottweiler. And we talked about Emily's dog being jealous, but it's a little bit different when the woman has this male dog who's protective and jealous of her, and it's this massive dog. Mm-hmm. And this happens more often than you think. And this dog just wanted a piece of me every time I went over her house. I mean, his gig was he would stick his big old male Rottweiler head between my legs and just jerk upward with his neck as hard as he could.
Oh my God.
Trying to lift me off the ground, trying to nut me, you know? I mean, and this got to be so old that we broke up.
Yeah.
Because she loved the dog and she just couldn't understand what my problem was. I mean, you know, she loves her Poochie. I mean, she's one of these ladies who would make out with her dog.
Like, okay. Well, I can't say that I have not kissed a fair number of dogs in my life. Uh-huh. Maybe not like she did, but, I do think that, you know, I come from a very pragmatic school of thought, I guess. And she's created a bit of a monster, I would say. And you have to be, I mean, one of my big things is be a respectful pet owner. Think about other people. I would never bring, my lab Rottweiler didn't like other dogs. So I never brought her into situations where she would make anyone else uncomfortable. This woman sounded like she thought it was funny or cute that her dog was like this. A Rottweiler who's untrained to know that he or she is not alpha is a danger, or can be. I mean, I love Rottweilers. It's one of my absolute favorite breeds, but it sounds like more of a personality defect in the woman, not the dog.
For some reason, Rottweilers are one of my least favorite breeds at this point. I really can't put a finger on why.
Well, it sounds like you had a pretty bad experience. I don't know.
But what about the guy? What about if you're a guy and you walk into the situation? Or, you know, this could go for both genders. And you're in a potentially humiliating situation because your date can't handle the pet. What does a guy need to do? Can a guy handle that dog? Can a guy do something then and there to protect himself or the lady protect herself from this humiliating situation? I mean, is there like a stupid dog trick that everybody can learn, like a Jedi mind trick?
A Jedi mind trick? I mean, yeah. I have to say that I don't think that – I mean, are you saying to how you can protect yourself so you don't get bitten or to protect yourself so you can get in good with the dog?
Well, I guess those are two separate questions that are both valid. I mean, the first one that came to mind for me is, you know, should I – act alpha with the dog instead of being, if I'm walking into a situation, I see this huge Rottweiler and I'm not particularly a dog guy.
Was the dog friendly to you off the bat?
Or in my situation, yes, it was. But I'm saying, let's say a guy walks into a situation and it's unknown. You're kind of in awe of the situation a little bit because here's this dog. Or the woman could be the same way.
Right. I mean, a lot of guys have these tough dogs but I have to say a lot of little dogs are nippers too. I mean, obviously it doesn't hurt maybe quite as much as if a big dog bit you, but I know far more little dog biters than big dogs that bite.
Okay. Well, let's play this then, because you're making all these points you're making are all valid. Let's WWCMD. What would Cesar Millan do? Right?
What would Cesar Millan do?
He's dating this woman. It reminds me of a bad South Park episode. Actually, it was a great South Park episode. But anyway, let's
aren't
not
they
go
all?
There.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So let me just lay it out for you so you can give me the answer. You walk in and there's an uncomfortable situation with a pet. It could be humiliating or painful, and your date is not going to do anything about it. Do I just say, hey, look, you know what? It's time to go outside and lock the dog inside and let's take it outside. Or can you say something firm?
Cats are on their own journey. I think cats are, you know, that's one of the things I think people are uncomfortable with about cats. Yeah. Is that they really they do their own thing. But with dogs, I think it's important to start off on the right foot from the beginning. And that might mean if you have a dog that has some dominance issues, is to arrange to meet not in the home. And I think that's especially true if someone has a bigger dog that's very domineering. And it's the same if you're going to meet, if you have a dog and your date has a dog, don't meet at somebody's house. Meet at a park. Meet at a neutral location. So the dog's defenses aren't quite as on alert, and they can enjoy you, and then you can move more seamlessly, enjoy being at your date's house. I think that's the best thing to do.
Right, because animals will be territorial and protective in their own domain.
Yes.
More so.
Oh, yeah. And also, crating is, I think, a really important reinforcement of a dog's position. Crating is never to be used as punishment, but keeping a dog crated keeps their keeps them feeling safe and their pack, their den animals. And so giving them their little den of safety while you are out with your partner, who's, you know, who their owner, gives a pecking order, reinforces it. And I think that's another really important thing.
That's what we do. And just to kind of flesh this out for anybody who doesn't know exactly what we're talking about like a size appropriate box for the dog that's purpose built for the dog. It's not like an orange crate we have.
Right. Right.
And you know, you line it with things the dog loves, you know.
And every time they go in the crate, it should be like the best thing. They get the best treat when they go in the crate.
Right, right. And our dogs, we are very well crate trained. And our dogs are very well crate trained. Actually, Cosmo, he probably is a little bitter about his dating life, but he loves his crate.
Aww.
And so we can leave them there. And actually, a lot of times, Cosmo will come in from outside and go directly to his crate.
Yes.
His first voice. And that's what you want. You want them to like that. And then it gives them a safe place, keeps them out of the way without being cruel to them. And obviously, you don't want to leave them in there forever.
No, and it's really important to remember in crating that it's not a punishment, and 4 to 6 hours is really what should be the top limit for crating. And it's great for puppies, and it's also great for dating, because when you're dating, or, you know, one of the great things about being single is that you're beholden to nobody except for yourself. And when you get a dog, that's an adjustment. But if your dog is crated, all the possibilities of going to a friend's house, going to a hotel, spending the night at somebody's house are more open to you, because you can take your dog's happy little place with them wherever you go.
Right. I guess one other thing I'd like to cover before we wrap up is, you know, male dogs will mark their territory.
Yeah, my dog, I'm on a trip right now, and he actually went to my friend's house and peed all over the place.
Yeah. The first time I ever met Emily's male dog,
tell me,
dude,
he peed on you.
He peed on me so fast, we didn't have time to, like, you know, mess. Right. I mean, it was like rocket up to my foot and leg up in the air by the time he skidded to a stop, already peeing.
Love it.
It was like supernatural. It was preternatural. Yeah, I mean, you've got to get your male dog off of marking territory before you even start a dating life.
Well, one thing I actually was peed on once when I was a little girl. I was a horseback rider, and, you know, this is all our peeing on stories. A Great Dane peed on my leg. But it's, again, it's all a dominance thing. I actually, on my blog, Love Thy Dog, have a story called Does Your Dog Pee High? And there's a whole thing about, it's a show off for dogs how high they can pee. And so him peeing on you was like, I'm over you in the pack order. That probably, it sounds like, ended pretty quickly. So that was Cosmo's.
Yes,
yeah. That was Cosmo's big stand, and now it's all over, and he's the low man on the totem pole. Clearly,
poor Cosmo. We all feel bad for
him. Aww. But,
so tell me, Betsy, give the folks who are listening right now just one or two last pieces that you think they need that we somehow missed out on this interview. Go for it. Give them
two or three things. A couple of things. If you're thinking about getting a dog, there are. Not all dogs have the same personality or the same needs. And if you're single and you're out dating and having a vibrant social life, and you think a dog is just going to slip into your life, it's probably not as easy as it looks, because it's not as easy as it was when mom and dad were picking up the poop and taking them to the vet. So really think about it before you get a dog. You can check out, there's some great tests online of what breeds would be good for you. And then once you find some breed recommendations, you can go to rescue groups. I'm a big fan of, and get an older dog that's been fostered. And so you can find out, these dogs have been fostered in people's homes, so you can find out, oh, well, this dog loves to eat chews, so you have to keep the chews away, or this dog loves the dog park, so it would be a great dog to go out and meet people with. I mean, so let other people, just like online dating, kind of create your perfect mutt map, is what I say, is what are you looking for? What do you need in a dog? And don't be rigid in the same way that you wouldn't just date your ideal girl, because then you'd be sitting by yourself watching television. But, you know, be realistic about what you want. And that dog is out there. And I think you can go out and find it and use sites like Pet Finder and Adopt a Pet. That's my big tip.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. All right. Well, from Prada to Poop.
From Prada to Poop.
Her name is Betsy Rosenfeld. The name of the book is The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. You can get it on Amazon, and I've made the whole process easy for you. DeserveWhatYouWant.com/pets, plural, P-E-T-S, and you're going to find Betsy. And Betsy, you're all right. We're going to have you back sometime.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And until I talk to you again soon, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. As always, be good out there.